So here's our T6 team. Starting for the audience at your far right is Mike Ginter. You know him. He's the president of NADA, North American. More applause for NADA, yeah? Former naval aviator. 5 deployments, Persian Gulf. 3,000 hours in the cockpit. 555, the Navy calls them traps. That's arrested landing on aircraft carriers. Got 1,000 hours in the SNJ, which is the T-6, as you all know. 2015, in Washington, D.C., VE Day celebration, he directed and led the flyover of 56 airplanes down the mall, all warbirds. Any of you happened to see that or were there in Washington that day? It was magnificent, Mike. Sitting next to him, Alan Henley, co-founder of the Aeroshell team you just saw on the screen. 27 years of flying air shows and 4,000 hours in the SNJ. My gosh. Next to him, Brigadier General George Schulstad, 6,200 hours, Air Force retired, 25 years service. He flew exchanges in the F-86 with the RCAF and flew the F-8U Crusader in an exchange with the Navy as a naval aviator, and he flew in Vietnam and the Tonkin Gulf.
He's a good man.
General George Schulstad. And next to me, retired Major General Alex McDonald, 9,000 hours in the cockpit, 45 years of service, many types of aircraft, props, and jets, is a very highly decorated retired Air Force officer. General McDonald. Mike, start us off. First of all, NADA, what does NADA do?
Well, thank you for hosting this for us. North American Trainer Association is the T6, T28, P51, and B25 type club. We also are the formation training signatory for T6s, T28s, and P51s. So we are the folks that we've got about 1,000 members. The organization's been around since 1985. It started out as the T6 Association, and then our 31 years of leadership under Kathy and Stoney Stonish, they changed it to NADA and brought in the T-28s and the rest of the North American aircraft, and it became a big family. And the last couple of years, we grew by about 28%, and we brought in the fighter signatory. So NADA now trains all the T-6s, T-28s, and all the fighters, not just Mustangs.
So how big a day is this for trainer aircraft?
Well, it's a great day. Today's really a NADA day for us to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the T-6. And working with the great folks here at EAA Warbirds, they gave us about an hour of today's air show. And as the president and a former naval officer, I've always believed what good's a little authority unless you abuse it a little bit. So I convinced them to let me make it a family birthday party, not just T-6s, but we brought the whole family in. So today's air show, you're going to see about 63 North American aircraft, starting at about 3:30. About halfway through the show is the NADA part. And the T-6s will be featured, but we're going to have fighters, B-25, and a bunch of T-28s.
Mike, how significant is this airplane? You just mentioned the big anniversary of this airplane, but how significant is it and has it been for all these decades?
Well, I'll introduce that answer, but these gentlemen could probably do a much better job. The T-6, about 17,000 built, and I think the number varies, but it's a lot. And it was the trainer aircraft for just about every pilot in World War II, and I think up to 34 allied nations. During and after the war. So it was in military service with the Spanish Air Force until the 80s and the South African Air Force until the 90s. And that's the reason why so many were well-maintained, and when they were surplused into civilian hands, a lot of folks bought them and brought them back to the States. So we've got 600 left. It's a significant part of the military aviation training history. I'll defer to the generals for more on that, and to Alan, of course, but it's a huge part of it. Everybody knows the T-6, air shows and the military guys. It's an iconic airplane. Proud to be a part of the association.
Alan, in your 4,000 hours in this airplane, how do you describe this airplane compared to flying others?
You know, it's an airplane that, flown correctly, it's a wonderful, it's actually, once you kind of get the hang of it, it's a very docile airplane, we like to think it is. It's a wonderful trainer. It's got so many great features that, you know, it makes you work hard at the things you need to work hard on, like directional control. But it's a very pleasing airplane to fly. The controls are very harmonic. Some of the other fighters I've flown, you know, they may be heavy rudder and light ailerons or something, you know. But the T6, everything is very harmonic. It's nothing's, you know, nothing's real stiff. Nothing. It's just a really pleasing airplane to fly in the air.
I think most of us are amazed watching, you know, the Aeroshell team that you co-founded fly these shows not only during the day but at night as well. Describe that experience for us of that kind of formation flying that tight, that close, and at night.
Well, you know, we're in our 33rd year together as a team, and we started doing the day show. Probably did that for about 10 or 12 years, and then started doing a late evening performance, kind of right at sundown. And we've started realizing that, first of all, it was a pleasure to fly at that time of day because it's, you know, starting to cool off and the wind and the turbulence disappears and it's just really smooth and it's fun to do. I always tell people, I say, yeah, we do the day show to earn the privilege to get the night, to do the night show. And, but what may, it's kind of an optical, I wouldn't say an optical illusion, but at night when we're flying the show, you're looking up at us and the airplanes are kind of dark looking. We're actually, from a height advantage, you know, your whatever sunlight that's left actually hits the ground and bounces back to us. So we can actually see better from our advantage than the crowd can looking up at the airplanes. And so even though it really starting to look kind of dark, things are still somewhat illuminated on the ground. It's not like we're flying black dark. We do more what they call a twilight show, and there is some residual light left over. So we can still see the ground and see each other. It's just fun.
Just fun. As long, to use your term, as long as you fly it correctly.
Exactly.
Mike, you had an experience in the back seat flying formation one of these?
Well, I did. I actually had the honor of riding in the back of Alan's brother, Mark Henley. I rode in the back of his airplane at a friend of ours air show down in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And I was actually still in command of a squadron, so I was an active duty Navy guy still flying. And I kind of had Navy regulations on the brain, but I was able to jump in the back seat of your brother's airplane, and he was on the right wing. And I'm used to a brief 90 minutes prior, very structured, and you follow the rules and regulations. And these guys were hanging out with their elbows on the wing, their horizontal stabilizers, and said, "All right, you guys are ready to go." And I thought, okay, great, ready to have a brief. Mark said, "Come on, let's load up." So that was the brief. And of course, these guys breathe together; they're so incredible. You've all seen them, but. So I got in the back seat, and it was the most incredible experience of my life. First thing Mark and Steve did, I guess Steve was on the left wing, they take off and step up. And if anybody's flown formation, we always teach step down.
Put it in my pocket.
So that when the leader turns into you, you're already below the wing, and you can stay safe. And it's a step down. You've seen it in all the videos. These guys step up on the wings, so they're looking down at the lead. And when the lead turns into you, you got to turn a lot quicker to stay above him but not lose sight. And then they did that doing an aileron roll and a barrel roll and a loop. So I told Mark when we landed that I'm really glad. And here I was, a jet guy in command of a squadron. I kind of know a little bit what's going on. I'm glad they removed the stick in the back seat because I told Mark I would have saved us about 20 times.
Alex, General Alex, when was your first meeting with a T-6?
It's kind of interesting. And on World War II, where you started out with the PT, then you went to the BT, and then you went to the AT, which was the AT-6. When George and I got to Goodfellow Air Force Base, Texas, in 1951, they showed us the AT-6 and said, this is the airplane you're going to start flying. So we started in that airplane and flew it all the time. We were at Goodfellow.
So what was it like to begin in that particular airplane without the other planes that you mentioned?
Well, I didn't know the difference. So my instructor was a second lieutenant that hadn't graduated very much before I started. And he was very forgiving and very understanding. And when he finally soloed me out, I took off and turned around and checked the back seat to make sure he wasn't hiding back there to protect me. But it was a great experience and a great airplane. And I was privileged to fly it in Korea in combat. At the time, I didn't think it was a privilege. But
we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, we will for sure. Right. George, you're also a Goodfellow in Texas?
Right, absolutely. In 1951, reported into Goodfellow Air Force Base at San Angelo, Texas. I had gone through Lackland as a private, so when I reported in, became an aviation cadet in pilot class 52A, the monthly pay went from $49 to $75 a month, which was a good deal. Got in the airplane. My instructor was First Lieutenant George M. Lake from Santa Ana, California, right out of Central Casting. Tall, fair-haired, good-looking guy. Been in World War II for the last few months of it. Had been in combat down in the Pacific. So he had visions of going to jet school, going over to Korea and becoming an ace. Instead, he finds himself as an instructor pilot in the back seat, teaching us green guys how to fly an airplane. So it was my first time ever in an airplane in the front seat. He said, just follow me through on the controls. Don't try to do anything. We took off, went about 2-3 miles away from the airbase. There was a ravine there. He took it right down to the cactus, turned it upside down, pushed forward on the stick. All the stuff came off the floor down on me, and he said, now, you little blankety blank, I'm going to teach you how to fly an airplane. And that he did, for which I'm forever grateful. He was a taskmaster. He absolutely insisted on everything being done perfectly, or you just kept on doing it until you did it perfectly. So I'm really grateful to Lieutenant George M. Lake from Santa Ana, California.